I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to another episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. My name's Matt. I'm your host. I have talked to a lot of people on the show and learned a ton about hemp, but I don't think I've ever spoken with anyone from India. I almost lined up an interview with some people that were running an Indian hemp conference a while ago, but it fell through due to time constraints. This week, I'm changing that. I have a conversation for you to hear with Shirians Kokra. He's the CEO of Canvaloop. Canvaloop is working on bringing hemp jeans to the public. They look just like regular jeans. They feel just like regular jeans, but they are much more ecologically friendly, not in just the way that they're made, but also when you wash them. And you're not going to believe where they are getting the hemp. The Canvaloop process is one of the most carbon negative processes, not carbon neutral, but carbon negative. And you'll hear why that I have ever heard of. It's incredible what they are doing. And they have a Kickstarter that's running right now to get their jeans to the public. There'll be a link for that in the show notes. And I hope you're going to go and back it after you hear my conversation with Shirians Kokra of Canvaloop.
I am here today primarily because we launched an awesome Kickstarter campaign called Slow by Canvaloop, which is jeans made out of the wild growing cannabis in the Himalayas.
So let's start there. We noticed you because of the Kickstarter. At Ministry of Hemp, we're always looking for cool stuff like this. Where are you guys centered out of?
Yeah. So we are based out of India, okay. Right? Currently, I am in Surat, Gujarat, which is like the westernmost part of the country.
Okay. You are using Himalayan hemp to spin it into a cotton and then make denim jeans, basically. So tell me about Himalayan hemp, because I watched the video and it kind of blew my mind. Tell me a little bit about Himalayan hemp first.
So basically, it's the wild cannabis that grows throughout the mountainous regions of the Himalayas. So when you probably reach there, all the lower and the middle upper Himalayas are full of the wild cannabis that grows there. And it is sort of the only plant in which you have very good quality flower, right? Which is generally used by people as marijuana, and also a very, very good quality fiber. Right. So that is what we found. And it has no known genetics. It grows absolutely in the wild with zero human interference. It just grows when we harvest in 3 months after you go to the same place. It's there at the same height, yielding the same quality of materials. So it's like nature's biggest gift to the planet. Every 90 days, you have some amazing things growing and you can just go and collect it.
This is not farmed. This is truly wild Himalayan hemp, like pine nuts, basically. Yes, where you don't grow them on a farm, you just go get it.
Yes, exactly.
Does this land belong to anyone? Or like, are you allowed to just go take it?
So we need permissions from the forest officials to go and collect it. But since hemp, again, is such a renewable resource, right? Within 90 days, it grows back to its same height and with the same, right? So that's why the forest officials have also started to allow it in the past 2-3 years. We follow a lot of guidelines, right, with regards to how much can we harvest, how do we harvest, especially keeping, like, the area is has zero infrastructure, right? And it's by design that the infrastructure is kept to a minimum because we want nature to survive as it is.
Sure.
So we take a lot of precautions while exercising the extraction, the harvesting, and we follow a lot of guidelines as well. So yes.
So it's carbon zero, like carbon negative, essentially, because you're not farming anything. You guys are literally going and picking a weed.
Yes, exactly.
That's just amazing. Tell me about that, though. You said there's not a lot of infrastructure. So how do you get there? Are you like rolling in on a dirt road, basically, into just a forest?
So, like, imagine, right, there are small villages all across the mountain region, right? And villages with, like, 10, 15, 20 houses.
Right.
And so the villagers initially used to only collect the seeds, right, and sell them in the cities for, like, making a small amount of living, right? So we basically taught them that fiber is something which is also a very, very useful part of the plant.
Definitely.
Right. And there are ways to harvest and extract the fiber. So we have trained them with the help of some NGOs on the ground. And literally from each village, you get like 100 kilo or 200 kgs of fiber. And a truck goes down, keeps on collecting it from the villages. Some of it comes on donkey backs. Some of it comes by...
This is so,
so
cool.
It's all,
this is so cool.
It's all in the very,
I don't mean to like,
stages.
I don't mean to like be so mind blown by it, but there just isn't anything like this in the United States where we have been sweet enough to work with local people and not exploit them, and, you know, and not come in and clear cut their forest, you know, to hear that you're going into these smaller areas and working with the people that live there and giving them income as well. I mean, you're paying them to go out and gather this, right?
Yeah. So we actually get a lot of support from the ground because this prevents migration of people from the villages to the cities, which is a big problem in the hills, right? Because there is virtually no infrastructure. There are no industries, then there are no employment opportunities, but this gives them a way to get employed throughout the year without leaving their birthplace, right? So this is something that we're getting a lot of ground support on.
And they're the experts too. They know exactly where it is.
Yes. Yeah.
They know exactly where to go get it. Let them do the work with their expertise. Yes.
Exactly.
It's amazing. So you show up, you pick up the hemp. From there, you drive it back into town. Tell me about the process now. From turning hemp fiber, like, I've always known that hemp fiber can be made into fabric, obviously, but jeans, that seems like pretty next level. Can you take me through sort of like a broad scope of the process of what happens?
Yeah. So basically, the parent company, Canva Loop, right? We have a proprietary technique, right? It's patent pending, by which we convert any sort of a hemp fiber or a plant, the stock part of the plant, to a cotton-like fiber, right? While retaining the properties of hemp, right? So the hemp fiber has some amazing properties, right? Like it being anti-UV, naturally antimicrobial. All of these properties, while cottonizing, we make sure that the amazing properties of hemp stay and hemp gets converted to a very soft fiber, right? And this is what we have been doing for the past couple of years. But then we thought that there is a gap, right? We must do something that the consumer actually sees and wants. We understand that a lot of people want to wear hemp clothing, but it's not available, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we worked for it on it for a couple of years, right? Since 2019, we have been working on this project. And so we have kept a lot of thought on sustainability and hemp throughout the jeans making process, right? So the way we convert the stock into fiber, again, 100% green. We use compressed natural gas instead of coal, which is like generally used in the fashion industry for heating purposes.
Definitely.
Right? So all the little things that couldn't be taken care of, right? Again, right, we have used natural indigo dyes, right? So dyes actually gotten from the indigo flower. So that's why jeans are called indigo, right? Because jeans technically used to have natural indigo dyes. It's the past 2-3 decades that we are seeing all artificial dyes, which choke up our river systems and everything. So throughout the process of making the jeans, we have kept sustainability and hemp at the core, right? So from making the fiber to the thread and then making the final denim, we have kept sustainability and hemp. And yes, it's a beautiful piece of denim. We have tried to make it as soft as possible, right? And a lot of tests have been done. We have washed it for 500 times. It stays as it is because of the great durability properties of hemp.
So it doesn't, it's not going to fade like my other jeans and whatnot.
Jeans, it is not, right? Because it uses natural indigo dyes and then hemp. Hemp is the strongest natural fiber, right? So
right.
we Yeah, we as an industry have to use hemp's properties to make products that reflects its true nature.
Right. It's not a matter of turning hemp into something else. It's using hemp to get a final product that you want with the benefits of the hemp fiber itself, more or less.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So tell me about that. Let's talk about the fiber for a second, because like I watched the video and the jeans look amazing. Like looking at them, I can't tell any difference visually. You said hemp is a very strong fiber and it's hard to work with. And you have a you have a proprietary process to turn it into something that looks like cotton, but it's not cotton. Yeah. It's still hemp.
Yes.
So how does it perform differently when you make it into a denim than say, like, I am wearing a pair of jeans right now, a pair of raw denim jeans that I paid $75 bucks for, which is a steal for raw denim. That's pretty cheap. And guess what? A year and a half later, I'll be real honest with you. There's a split in the crotch. You can't see it because I'm at home by myself, so it's fine right now. But like, these are $75 raw denim jeans that are supposed to be tougher than normal denim. And they were also made, like you said, they were made more responsibly and whatnot. They're garbage. So explain it, like, these hemp jeans, how does it stack up to something like raw denim? And what are the differences, I guess? Similarities and differences, I suppose.
So similarity, like, we have worked a lot to not change the feel of the denim, right? Because we have been wearing denims for so long.
Yeah.
And if suddenly I give you a very different feeling denim, right, you will not want to wear it.
Yeah, people say these aren't jeans. So,
these aren't jeans, right? So we have consciously tried to make the feel of the jeans, right, how it's worn, as similar to cotton, like your normal jeans as possible, like a premium common jeans as possible, right? The major differences that lie are on the way you can wear the jeans, right? So jeans were technically made to be worn for longer periods of time without being washed,
right?
And but the problem with modern jeans nowadays is with a lot of, things coming up in the past few years, you cannot wear them multiple times, right? They start smelling, or they are sweaty, or they are sticky, all of those problems, right? So because hemp has a very, I'm sorry for being a little technical here, but
no, it's
has
fine.
A very porous nature. Yeah, has a very porous, cross section. It's very breathable, right? So you'll sweat significantly less, and also it's naturally antimicrobial. So since there's no bacterial activity, the jeans do not get smelly, right? So you can probably wear them for way longer periods of time without actually washing them.
So these are jeans that I can wear during the summer, is what you're saying?
Yes.
I'm
as
not...
summer as well as winters, right? Again, because it's porous, right? It'll keep you warmer in the winters and cooler in the summers, right? So again, these are all amazing properties of hemp that we're just trying to reflect on the product, right? Hemp is what takes the credit over here. So that is how it's different, right? Because of the amazingness of the plant, the variability of the jeans is amazingly better than what you can expect from a normal cotton jean.
So more durable, and it's a little more porous, so it's breathable. So it's cooler in the winter. Cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter, which is good for guys like me because I have chicken legs and I don't like wearing shorts. I want to wear jeans all summer. And it also doesn't, it's UV resistant, you said.
Yeah.
That's a natural part of the hemp fiber is UV resistant.
Yes.
Wow. So it's not going to fade.
Yeah, it's not going to fade. So it is eventually going to fade, like probably after 10 or 15 years, but not when you're going to wear it for sure.
So what about the construction as far as sewing it? Is it harder to work with than working with denim?
Yeah, it is definitely harder to work with, right? Especially when we get to the machines, right? Because most of the modern machines are either made for synthetic fibers or cotton.
Right.
Right. So it's significantly harder to work with. And there are specialized skills required, right? So not your everyday jeans maker can make a hemp jeans, right? So, and a hemp rich jeans, right? There are some jeans on the market which have like a certain percentage of hemp in the denim.
Yeah.
But those aren't hemp rich. By hemp rich, we mean like at least 50% of the fabric should be hemp.
Right.
Then is when you can call something made out of hemp, right? So, it's significantly difficult, but we are getting there, right? So at the core, we believe that within a few years, within say the next decade, hemp is going to be a norm of the fashion industry.
Absolutely. Right?
So everything will revolve around hemp. It'll be the next big material. So yes, we're trying to make it happen.
So did you guys have to make new machines to work with this? Because they're not out there right now, right? I mean, like sewing machines and whatnot and the looms that bring this hemp fabric, you can't just run this through a normal loom and make the same type of cotton, can you?
So again, the fiber that we make, right, since we have made it so like cotton, right, it runs on the regular loom.
Oh, really?
But with special assistance, right? So with some modifications and some special assistance that's okay. required. So right, not your everyday person can run it, but someone who's trained to run something like this can definitely run it on the machine, on their regular machine. So that is the basic purpose that we are trying to serve, to make the adoption of hemp as easy as possible for mainstream fashion brands as well. Right. Everyone on the planet should start using hemp.
I totally agree. That's why I host this podcast. Yeah. Now you have a proprietary process that breaks it down into that fabric, more not the fabric, but the thread,
the
fiber, if you will.
Yeah.
At that point, you're saying once it's there, you could ship it to any place that deals with fiber and they can work with it pretty much the same way.
Yes, exactly.
That's incredible. One of the other things I saw, it takes 7,600 liters of consumed water to make regular denim jeans. And that's for Americans, that's just over 2,000 gallons of water. And 1,900 pieces of microplastics are released into the oceans with every wash. Why are microplastics coming out of my jeans? I had no idea.
So a lot of jeans nowadays have certain percentage of polyester or say a lycra in it, right?
So to make them stretchier and more comfortable and
stretchier, and a lot of jeans that you see on the market claim to be like more durable, right, actually use polyester, which every time you wash like a meter piece of polyester cloth, it releases microplastics in the water.
That makes sense,
right? So and a lot of, again, jeans are nowadays branding themselves as made out of plastic bottles, recycled plastic bottles.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, again, not so good for the environment, right? Because on one hand, you're recycling the plastic bottle. But again, from the fabric that is made, you are releasing microplastics in the water.
Right.
So it's like dying by one go, you're dying by a million pieces of microplastic.
Yeah, it's death by a plastic bottle or death by a million, you know, pieces of tiny, tiny microplastic.
So
tell me about the water consumption. How does that work? Like slow jeans, obviously, according to what I'm reading here, use quite a bit less water. How does that work out?
So again, it's so hemp, as I said, right, requires no sort of artificial water or irrigation to grow. Right,
right.
It grows on the rainfall that happens or from the groundwater. Right.
Because again, this is not farmed. You're just going and taking this more.
Yes, exactly. And the cotton that is used to make denims, right, it requires a tremendous amount of water to grow, right?
Right.
So 1 kg of cotton requires approximately 10,000 liters of water.
Jesus.
Right. So, and that's literally just 2 pieces of jeans.
Right.
So, and again, throughout the processing, the dyeing process of the jeans and all of those processes, also there's a lot of water required. And we make denims in mills that use completely recycled water. So they recycle their own water. They do not take any new water.
So it's like a gray water system.
Yes. Right. And again, the plant did not require any water to grow. So throughout the whole value chain, we are saving tremendous amounts of water.
That's incredible. Right?
And that is what, so that is what we wanted to emphasize in the campaign as well, right? Because a lot of people are not aware about the water footprint of their clothing.
Right. So let's talk
because
about
it's made so far away. Yes.
Let's talk about the campaign for a second. Tell me about the Kickstarter, what you guys have going on. I'll have a link to the Kickstarter, of course, in the show notes so people can go throw money at this because we all need to be wearing hemp jeans. And by the way, these are not like boxy farmer looking jeans. These are sexy. These look really good. Like, do you come from some type of fashion background or anything? Like, we'll talk about you in a minute, I guess. Let's talk about this, the Kickstarter first. Then I want to talk about you, where you came from and how you got this idea, because I think it's amazing. Yeah. So tell me about the Kickstarter.
Yeah, so we are presenting slow jeans, right? These are jeans completely made out of the wild growing Himalayan hemp, right? And it's processed in the most sustainable manner possible. And the final output, the jeans, are better than the normal jeans that we wear, cotton jeans. It's available in three timeless colors, right? Sky, which is like a light blue color, indigo, which is like a dark blue color, and the classic black.
Right. Very classic American denim jean colors. Yeah.
And all the fits, right? So if you want a regular fit or a slim fit or a skinny fit, right? So most of the, like, it's a perception that hemp is a loose, that grandpa kind of a clothing that, like, you get from
you,
hemp,
see, right? You see the hippie in the pajamas with like the hemp poncho on, you know, like, I'm wearing hemp clothes, bro, you know.
So this is like your regular, this is a jeans that you can wear to the biggest party in town, and you'll know, and people will ask, this jeans is, what is this jeans, right? So all the fits, all the colors are there. And I just want to say it out loud that there are two things with it, right? First, it's made of the wild Himalayan hemp. And second, it's insanely comfortable. Right?
Yeah.
So this is what we have emphasized on. We did not want to give a product that did not feel good. We did not just want to sell hemp because of just it being hemp, right? We wanted to make a very good, usable piece of product. And once you have it, you will feel the difference for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely jeans, I think, are an intensely American institution where everybody wears jeans. It's just something that, like, cowboys wore jeans back in the days, you know, like, it's crazy. Jeans are something that we go to work in. Jeans are something I mow the lawn in. Jeans are something I can take a nap in, you know? So if these are going to be hemp jeans, they've got to be jeans. They've got to be comfortable. They've got to look right. Yeah. They've got to feel right. Yeah. You know, it's not like you're just showing up with hemp pants.
Exactly.
So tell me about you. How did you get into this? What is your background?
So I'm personally trained in finance, right? So, but I have a family history in textiles and fashion, right? Okay. So my family has been in the fashion textile industries for 40 years, right? And I wanted to get away from it all. And that's why I came to the US with a finance background. But then again, I got in touch with hemp and just realized its awesome potential. And the actual problem that the textile industry had, I was always aware of that, right? But I did not really have a solution in mind. But when I just got in touch with hemp and its awesome benefits, we were damn sure that this is something that needs to be presented to the normal public. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so 4 years back, we started on from scratch, literally from scratch, working with the plant. And how do we convert it into the best possible fabric for the people?
What was it that brought you to hemp? How did you discover it?
So when I came to the US, a couple of people mentioned it to me, right? And I'm like a very inquisitive, curious kind of a person.
Yeah.
Right. So I just got into it, started reading about it. And interestingly, I was doing a master's in entrepreneurship.
Okay. Right?
And we had to pitch an idea to work on throughout the year during my course. So this was my master's. Hemp was all about my master's, right?
You're the second person I've talked to that did this as their master's. They're like, I was in grad school and I came up with this crazy hemp idea. And they were like, write a paper about it, you know? And now it's my job, you know?
So we started. So during the college itself, we were a group of people. We started a company there in Boston itself, right? over the time, we did not work out. It was still hemp, right? So we stuck on it. We pivoted a lot of time. And then we finally had this breakthrough with the technology. And today, here we are with the jeans.
Was this the kind of thing where you were in the States and you got interested in hemp and decided, okay, my family is from a fiber background. Was there this moment where you just went, oh my God, there are hundreds of thousands of acres of this stuff back in the Himalayas. I got to go home and use this. Was it just something like that? Or?
Yeah. I think you pictured it perfectly. Right?
Yeah.
This is exactly what happened, right? So
I mean, that's serendipity,
more
man.
Than
that's
the
incredible.
Himalayas, right? I saw, right, the United States, a lot of so incidentally in 2016 when I was in the States, the whole movement to legalize hemp and the separation of hemp from marijuana was going on, right, especially in the Boston area, right? So that movement, right, actually was like a kickstart that we got, right?
Yeah.
And coupled with my textile background back home, right? Because we also need some sort of an expertise with the product. This is what I also firmly believe, like till the traditional sort of industries get into hemp, mm-hmm. right? It's not going to go very, very mainstream, right?
Right.
Till like a Pepsi starts making, say, probably some sort of aerated drinks with hemp.
Oh, it's coming.
It's difficult.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, it's definitely coming. Right?
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, so I think very, very, very good times ahead.
So you came to the States and you got your finance degree and then you were like, oh crap, I've got to go home. Yeah. That's where the action is. You come home with this idea and you come to your family and you're like, hear me out. Hemp jeans.
Yes.
Like, who's on board? Were they like, yeah, let's pull the trigger. Were they like, son, you're insane. What happened to you in America? I mean, like, how do you pitch an idea like that? Because I'm guessing your family's textile business was not going out into the woods and finding, plants to make clothes out of. How do you pitch that to mom and dad, and were they just on board?
So my dad was on board right away, right?
Really?
He's like very open. Yeah. So he's very open. He's like, these are your years to experiment in life, right? And so you can go ahead till you are not making a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You can go ahead, try as many things as you want.
That's awesome.
But But again, like since like in India, we have sort of an extended family system, right? And there were a lot of people who were not very keen on letting this happen because there are a lot of regulatory issues in India.
Right.
Also in the States, it's everywhere, right?
Sure.
We just cannot deny it, right? It's significantly harder for a person to do business in the hemp industry as compared to any other, right? So we have like under layer of licenses when we import, when we export, when we do sort of normal transaction. So people are not very keen, right? But since I had a go ahead with my dad, we just winged it and
did it. You just got to keep fighting, right?
Yes.
Sooner or later, they're going to stop telling you no because they're sick of you. Right? Like, this guy won't shut up. Just tell him yes. All right. What is the government like with hemp in India? Is it like here in the States, we're still trying to figure it out, like, which is ridiculous because our neighbors in Canada have been doing it since the 90s. Europe is way ahead of us. China has been doing this since they figured out they could make fabric out of it. Yes. What's it like in India? Is the government a little more green friendly or is it similar to the States?
So it's changing, right? The current is like no one wants to get into this topic, right?
Right.
So since it's so controversial, right? No elected government is like, let me take this ahead, right? So it's just stuck in a sort of a limbo, but there are smaller states which are now acting up and legalizing it, right? Because one interesting thing with India and hemp is, right, it grows in the wild parts of the country, right? So it's not something that people haven't seen. It's just that it was not commercialized, right?
Yeah.
So people have seen and it's part of the culture, right? So the ground level acceptance is there, but from a regulatory standpoint, it's it's changing slowly, but we are hopeful, right, especially with the United Nations, the announcement coming last week with regards to cannabis, right? And we tend to follow the U.S. in whatever.
It sounds very similar to like the really stupid stuff we are dealing with hemp here in this country. I'm sorry it's like that there. I'm sorry you guys are following us. It's embarrassing. We're bad at this, you know?
And even like the states that have made it legal, there's a lot of issue because we've just copied the guidelines from the European Union,
right?
Without actually making the guidelines as per the country. So there are a lot of issues that are there, a lot of things in the gray area, but we're very hopeful that in a couple of years, all of this will get sorted.
It sounds like they're starting to see the benefits. And especially when you have someone like you who's like, look, I'm not just grabbing this stuff and immediately exporting it to China or immediately exporting it to South America. We are keeping it here. We are using the local population and helping them make money and putting the product together right here and then exporting it. That's
exactly
very important. Very
much. Yes, exactly.
I mean, India, we have definitely, for years and years, not just India, but India, Bangladesh, a lot of these smaller, Vietnam even, we say, hey, make our Gap jeans. Hey, make our Old Navy jeans. Do it any cheap, crappy way you can think of and then ship it over here. You know, it's nice to hear that someone is doing it the right way. I'm sorry that you're fighting to do it. I wish this could just, boom, explode. But this is an amazing story, and I think it's awesome, and I hope anybody's listening to this goes and backs the Kickstarter. I want a pair of these jeans so damn bad. I just want to walk around and be like, I'm wearing hemp jeans, and they look awesome.
Amazing, amazing, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
We, as a hemp and a cannabis community, we keep talking about how great the plant is, right? Yeah. But there's a lot less action happening, right? Even if within the community we start using things made out of hemp, right? Virtually everything in the house that we are living in and in the office space that we are occupying, right? A lot of things can be made out of hemp.
Yes.
And they can be better than the current things that we are using. So we as a community, if we start using hemp products in general, right? The industry and the community will become stronger. And it's, I think, the way forward for the industry is to start supporting each other first and then looking outside.
Definitely.
For more approval.
Because we can't continue to just cheerlead to each other. That's not going to change anything. We've got to keep screaming to everybody else. Hey, we can make wood out of this. Hey, we can make jeans out of this. Hey, we can make plastic out of this. Oh, by the way, you have an endocannabinoid system in your brain that wants this as well. It's very important. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for what you're doing. I truly think this is just incredible. And I hope this explodes. I hope you're so famous it's stupid. And sometime next year, they're going to be like, oh, you got to hear when he was on that Ministry of Hemp podcast before anybody knew him.
I definitely hope this happens. Thank you so much, man. Yeah, man.
Huge thanks to Shurians for talking with me. It was going on midnight his time when we had this conversation. So thank you for staying up late to talk to a lazy American that didn't realize what time it was there. And also, the links to the Canvaloop Kickstarter are going to be in the show notes. Please go check it out. Watch the video. I think we'll have it in the post for the podcast as well. But it's truly incredible what they are doing. And he's right. Hemp is one of the fibers of the future, and it's just a matter of time. And it's really cool to see early pioneers. And when I say early pioneers, that's kind of ridiculous because we've been making hemp clothes for thousands of years. But it's coming back in a big way, and it's really cool what they're doing. So we owe it to support people like Shurians and Canvaloop. Speaking of the show notes, here at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that a more accessible world is better for everyone, so you can find a complete written transcript of this show in the notes as well. thanks again for spending some time with me today and learning about hemp. And thanks to everybody that supports this podcast by going to Patreon/Ministry of Hemp and becoming a Ministry of Hemp Insider. It is an amazing way to keep this information coming and to hear podcast extras, to get a look at early posts before they go up on the site, and all kinds of other extra stuff. We've got t-shirts, we've got stickers, all kinds of cool stuff. It really does help. And you know what else helps? Leave me a review for this show wherever you listen to podcasts. Whether it's a star rating or even a written review, it helps so much to bump us up in search algorithms so other people can find this show. Speaking of the show, next week I will be talking to two of the gentlemen that started Sana Packaging. They are one of the largest hemp plastic packaging companies in the United States, and it was an awesome conversation. So be sure to tune in for that. If you need more Ministry of Hemp in your life, until then, head over to ministryofhemp.com. We have got our holiday gift guide up. The holidays are coming, and you have people that would love all kinds of hemp presents. So check out our holiday gift guide. And if you didn't hear it last week, check out our roundtable discussion that we posted on the show here, where I spoke with Drew and Kit and Desiree, the whole Ministry of Hemp gang, and we talked about hemp and cannabis on the ballot in the 2020 election. It was a great conversation, and I hope you had a chance to check it out. You can also follow us on all our social media at /Ministry of Hemp, at Ministry of Hemp. We're all over the place, and we're always kicking out great hemp education links. And maybe you have questions about this episode or CBD or anything hemp related. You can call us 402-819-6417 and leave your message with your question. We will play it on a future show. We do these Q&A shows where myself and other people from Ministry of Hemp answer your questions. It's a ton of fun, and I would love to hear from you. You can also email me, matt@ministryofhemp.com, with your question, or shoot me an MP3 to that email too. Regardless, we want to hear from you. It's your show. Let's hear your questions. I got to get out of here, and I like to do it the same way every week by saying, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.